This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock to pieces? This week, I think, especially with our gospel lesson, I would answer those questions with a deep, booming, unqualified yes. Sometimes when I'm thinking about and preparing for a sermon, the Holy Spirit just speaks to me especially loudly and clearly. And this was one of those weeks. Maybe it's because I was encouraged by the lessons that we've been having in the book of Hebrews lately. And maybe it was because I've been revisiting through my outside reading some of the writings from Eugene Peterson. But this week I felt prompted to draw back the curtain a little bit and give you guys a kind of a direct peek at what we could describe as open secrets or maybe some insights as to what is going on in the scriptures today, and maybe even what's going on with me personally. These open secrets, if you will, had to do with who we are as the people of God, who I am, at least who I see myself as, what my job is as your pastor, and kind of how we both fit into the world around us. And so we start with that passage from Hebrews, and it starts in chapter 11. And I actually want to go back a few verses earlier than where our verse actually picks up today, and pick up a verse that's describing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who the book of Hebrews calls heroes of faith. And it says this about them: they were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. I love that. And then they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. I was really struck by that image of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because even though God had promised Abraham a homeland and that he would be a father of a great nation, Abraham died without ever having that promise fully realized. His son Isaac and his grandson Jacob were still living as nomads in tents in the land of Canaan. But our text tells us that they never gave up hope. They lived in faith, even though they were only able to welcome the fulfillment of those promises of being a nation and having a homeland. They could only welcome those promises from a distance. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. And for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit has just kept drawing my attention to those words, aliens and strangers on earth. And for whatever reason, it's like God was putting me in situations where I was feeling like an alien and a stranger on earth this week. This is one of those open secrets that I was talking about earlier. As traditional Christians in Utah, don't you sometimes get the feeling that you're an alien or a stranger on this earth? I got a real sense of that yesterday at a wedding that I officiated at. A friend of mine asked me if I would marry her son and his bride-to-be, and I said I would be happy to oblige. As I met with this young couple a couple of times, they very openly shared with me that her family was staunchly LDS. And that her family was not exactly thrilled with the idea of her marrying outside of her faith. And it turned out yesterday that her grandparents, who were on a mission as retired people in St. George, were coming up to attend the wedding. And they were lovely people. I met them both. But as far as I could tell, they were the only people on the site who were wearing their name badges saying that they were elder so-and-so. As I looked out on that audience, over half the people in attendance were very clearly from the bride's side of the family. And although, I have to tell you, even though this wasn't my first rodeo, this is not the first wedding that I ever did, I started to get really nervous. As I was giving my short homily, and really kind of a homily that I've given before, I knew my stuff. I was making eye contact with everybody in the audience, and it just seemed to me that I wasn't connecting very well. You know, I get that impression sometimes with you, but not very often. But boy, yesterday, as I was giving this short little sermon that I've given before, I don't know, whatever wedding services or messages they're used to hearing at a wedding, I didn't feel like I was making a connection. And it kind of threw me a little bit. Despite the fact that in my life I have attended and performed more weddings, I'm sure, than anybody sitting out there, I was the one that was feeling like an alien or a stranger at that time. You know, maybe more to the point is that as the world around us is changing and is becoming less religious and more secularized, we know that's happening. According to the Pew Research folks, the number of people in this country who describe themselves as atheist has more than doubled since just 2007. No religion or denomination has seen that kind of growth. In April this year, National Geographic magazine ran an article entitled "The World's Newest Major Religion, No Religion." According to this article, the religiously non-affiliated, they referred to them as nuns, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, right? None. No religious affiliation. They're the second biggest group in North America and Europe right now. They account for over a quarter of the U.S. population. No religious affiliation. And in the last decade, their numbers have surpassed the numbers of Roman Catholics, mainline Protestants, and the followers of all non-Christian faith in this country. That's a huge move. As real followers of Jesus, if we haven't already started to feel like aliens or strangers in a strange land, it's just a matter of time. It won't be long before we do. According to that author of the book of Hebrews, those heroes of faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, admitted that they were aliens and strangers in a strange land, and they spoke that way because it says they were looking for a homeland. Looking for a homeland. I guess that would be the next open secret. I wanted to draw the curtain back so that you could get a good look at it. As people of faith, you know, at Mountain of Faith, we say that we're about becoming real followers of Jesus. I would have to say that we never truly are going to feel at home in a non-Christian or in a secularized setting. St. Augustine wrote about this famously in his book, Confessions. He wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Unless and until our hearts rest in God Almighty through faith in Christ, we're just doomed to feel like strangers or aliens." Kind of the way we're wired spiritually. We may have citizenship in Tooele County, the state of Utah, and in the good old U.S. of A., but our real homeland as people of faith is in the kingdom of God. And this brings me to the final, perhaps, maybe this one isn't quite as open a secret that I would like us to take a good look at. I want you to understand who I am and how I see my role as your pastor. And I really want to thank Eugene Peterson. He's a great theologian, a great teacher, and a translator of the Bible. He translated that the Bible in that book that we know as The Message. I want to thank him for this perspective, and I have to tell you that I have really come to embrace it over the last several years. And I don't want this to sound shocking, but I have really come to believe that the American way of life is doomed to destruction. Just like all the past and future kingdoms of the world have been or will be doomed to destruction. I believe that there is another kingdom right now being formed in secret, behind the curtain, if you will, to take its place. I believe that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of God and the kingdom where Christ reigns. And that kingdom is already among us. And in short, that's why I'm a pastor. My job is to introduce people to that kingdom. And if it doesn't sound too high and mighty, to help train them to live in it. And I think part of that training includes how to live in this world until that kingdom of God is fully realized. Because right now we live in what we could call an in-between time. Our lessons today are all about how we should be living in this in-between time, between that time when Christ's life and ministry and death and resurrection start to bring forth the kingdom of God, and that time when he finally returns to claim what's rightfully his and God's kingdom is fully realized. All of our lessons today talk about how we are to live. The author of the book of Hebrews is writing, he's writing to an audience that's being persecuted for their beliefs. Hebrew people who accepted Jesus as the Messiah were being persecuted on two different fronts. The Jewish religious leaders of the day were after them. The Roman government was after them. And so the whole book of Hebrews is just a reminder of what the people of faith had to go through in their time. And as we read through that lesson from Hebrews today, you remember that some of those through faith ended up mighty and victorious. Our text says they conquered kingdoms, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword. That all sounds good. They won strength out of weakness. But that's not how it was for everybody. In that same passage, there's a whole other different face that shows up for people of faith. It says others were tortured, suffered mocking and flogging, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death, sawn in two. That's how tradition says the prophet Isaiah died. They're killed by the sword. And I guess what I'm trying to say here, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that this is the life of a disciple. Sometimes it feels like we're victorious. Sometimes our faith sustains us in our victories. But sometimes it's only our faith that sustains us in our sufferings. Faith allowed the heroes of faith, described in Hebrews, to endure both victories and sufferings. That's a huge revelation to me. Your faith allows you to endure victories in addition to the things that we're going through. And I would just say it's the same with us today. This is exactly what the author of Hebrews is getting at in those last couple of lines that we read. He knew that not every one of his readers, you know, even those readers in the first century or even the people who are reading that book of Hebrews in Tooele County in the 21st century, not all of us are going to be called upon to suffer mocking and flogging and chains and imprisonment, or worse, because of our faith. But sooner or later, every one of us is going to be called upon to endure the trials and tribulations that come about because we are people of faith. We won't escape that. And since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I just love the way that this is put, we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that slows us down and that keeps us from running that race with what the author calls perseverance. And the only way that we can do that is by looking to Christ. Jesus is the author of our faith. He's the one who lived it perfectly. And He's the one that endured the cross for our sakes. He's our example of how faith can endure. If Christ can endure the cross for us, we can look to Him and with the power of the Holy Spirit, endure whatever comes our way because of our faith. And in our gospel lesson, it sounds like a hard word that Jesus has given us, but it's just a little sample of what can happen to us when we choose to follow Christ. There are some real life examples of what happens when we become people of faith. You know, let's back up just a minute and say that we have God's promise that when Christ's reign is complete and finalized, that He will be the Prince of Peace. That is a beautiful promise. We love that. And about that time, the Bible says, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." Great words of encouragement. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And the one on the throne says, "Behold, I make all things new." That's a ways down the road. And until that time comes, we live in an in-between time. The kingdom of God has started with Christ, His life and death and resurrection, but it's not complete until He shows up again to claim the earth as His. And we know that during this in-between time, there are going to be some who willingly let Christ reign in their hearts, and there are going to be others who just don't want any part of it. And in our gospel lesson, Jesus is telling us that those kinds of divisions are going to happen even within our own families. Father against son, mother against daughter. We all know about the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law thing, right? No. Yeah, you... God will get you for that. Do not shake your head. We all can expect to feel like strangers or aliens, even within our own families, is the moral of the story. We should expect that. But it doesn't mean that we can't endure it. I will wager that each and every one of us at some time or another felt like we were getting some pushback from either friends or family because of our faith. It just happens. And so, from the book of Hebrews, God's word for us today is to endure. we need to endure, especially in this in-between time. We can never force our faith on somebody else. We cannot coerce people into the kingdom of God. There has always been a cost for being a follower of Christ. But like those heroes of faith described in the book of Hebrews, we can look to, we can consider, we can see Jesus as an example as to how to endure in our faith. With the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells in us, we can run with perseverance that race that God has set before us, confident that sooner or later, we will no longer be strangers or aliens in a strange land. That at last, we will dwell with Christ. And we can claim full citizenship in the kingdom of God. Amen.